is in unbelief, rejected. And in the garden, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But thank God for the words. But nevertheless, thy will be done. Peter thought he could fix it. He took the sword, he cut the high priest's ear off, the servant of the high priest's ear off. Jesus quickly put that back on. Hold on. And fix it! Could have been a mob thing going on. He made more trouble than good. That's what we do all the time. He was the best guy in the room. Peter was, besides Jesus. He was the most zealous. Almost messed everything up. That's what we do. Isn't that what we do? I mean, that's out of your world. That's mine, man. Every time I think I got it going on, man, I throw him up. Alright, I got it. All right. And he says, come on over here. Give me a hug. I'll wash off. Oh, reminds me of the story. Oh, my goodness. Just Lily was in the bathtub with Loretta was giving her a bath, and she takes the suds over the edge of the tub and suds there, and she says, you wash me like this. Do you think they can get it? It's the adults that have the problem with it. What are you going to give them? Well, you can be anything you want, boy. Well, you can do anything you want, boy. I remember Pink Floyd's song, Welcome to the Machine. You know, what did you dream? We told you what to dream. You dreamed of a rock star. He had a mean guitar. He drove around in his Jaguar. Welcome to the Machine. That's the world, man. They'll give you a dream. What's your dream? Three cars? Or three stories, two cars, a swimming pool? Is that what it is? Is that your dream? They will be glad to sell you that. He'd give you that. Sure, help him step up, man. If that's all it takes, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I mean, that's the issue, isn't it? Really? Biblically, Jesus is the one we see. When it comes down to it, if we're in Glenn Beck's situation in the hospital with a bladder three times too full and nobody looking our way or caring and nobody cleaning up our filth and having our wife take us by the hand and take us into a bathtub, taking and stripping us down and cleaning ourselves and hugging us in their fully clothed, wet body because they're under the shower. These are the things this world will offer us if we don't know Him. But if we know Him, we see Jesus. I know a guy who had chronic fatigue syndrome or something of that nature. He could not move. He could not get out of his bed. The words were, I think it was Spurgeon actually, where he actually said the only mercy he had with his gout and all of the things going on in his world at the time was when he was moved by his friends from his church, the ones that were closest to him, would come in and they would roll him over because he couldn't roll himself over. And he said the only mercy he could find in that pain and in that trauma was when the only mercy he could find was to be rolled back into the previous pain. Because there was no relief whatsoever. This passage tells us, for He gave us a perfect Savior. For He's not ashamed to call us brothers. Because we are all offspring. And I love the fact that He's not ashamed to call us brothers. If you ever wonder how such good things came to us, here is the reason. God had a plan. Jesus executed the plan. And He steps up, puts His arms around us and says, they're with me, they're mine, they're loved in the Beloved. And that is huge. Because you, as you think in your heart, so you will be. If you have your faith in your good works, if you have your faith in your goodness, if you have your faith in a false Jesus, you're going to be out in the cold. And when Jesus was not ashamed, He said a number of things. I will declare thy name, verse 12, in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto you. Again, I will put my trust in Him. Literally, in that verse where it says, I will put my trust in Him, in 13, Jesus is showing us how He did grace. He showed us how it worked. Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own will. I do what the Father shows me. That's what I do. I do what I see the Father doing. I join Him. He says, I know what it is to live hungry, thirsty, you know, hot, sweaty, and without a home. I just trust God. And He showed us how that was done. So all of the extra stuff, He says, if you have food and raiment, be there with content. And you know what? We got a whole lot more than that. Praise God. Thank God for it. But don't ever let yourself get caught up in the stuff, because the stuff doesn't matter because we see Jesus. I'm standing at the side of a little incubator where, not an incubator, but whatever they call it, bed with a little light there, you know, it's a McDonald's kind of setup. I got the idea. You got the kid being needed here, right?
And I'm thinking, this was just a few days ago, I was here with my kids. You know what that tells me? Then it won't be long for my kids getting where I'm standing. Looking at his grandkids. And I probably will be gone. I don't hear people pushing and rushing behind me. The time is. We are not made to stay here. We are made to leave here. You say, well, why would God do this? Why would God do all the whys? Forget the whys. It's a huge, awesome thing that we're alive. Look at this. You get to go to heaven and have joy and bliss forever. Forever. At his right hand are fullness of joy forevermore. In his presence fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those are the verses of the scripture. We sit back and say, whoa, really? I hate life. Fine. Hate it. Love Jesus. Amen? I mean, I would kill myself. I'm so sad. Wait a minute. Stop. Hold the knife. Die to yourself. Give your life to Jesus. Let him do something with it, because he can do better than you can. Well, you don't understand. I've got plenty. I'm going to break down my barns. I'm going to make bigger barns. For many years to come, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you. No matter where you are in the spectrum of things, God is, and there is no other. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. That's what it is. You get one day around, you don't get it right, it's on you. Nobody else is going to be blamed. God's not going to say, well, you know, I understand, come on in. He says that at the cross. And if you don't come to the cross, he says, I don't have any other way. I don't have any other way to get you in. You don't like my son, you don't like me. You don't like my son, you don't like me. If you don't like me, that's okay. You can be my enemy, and I'll let you have some of the common grace. You can enjoy good flavors. In fact, I figure my little adversary down there, the devil, he's going to run around giving you whatever you need. He'll hook you up. In fact, when you start seeing things go easy, and you're lost, you better get scared. Because if you can go quietly to hell, that's the most dangerous place to be. In that zone of going quietly to hell. Hey, living on it. How are you doing? Beloved, the passage tells us that he, in verse 13, says, I will put my trust in him. He's shown us how it's done. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. See, he's saying, that's what the plan was. He's always about God, the Father, and doing what God wanted him to do, bringing many sons. The last few verses, in verses 14 to 18, also bring some things. First, I just want to give you the two highlights. There's two things that he says under this heading. First of all, it says he took part of flesh and blood. Verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. He took flesh and blood. That's ironing it out. He partook of flesh and blood. Who? We see Jesus. By whom are all things, for whom are all things, he is who he's talking about. He who made it all took flesh and blood. Now, that's either true or that's a lie. I vote for truth. And because he took flesh and blood, some things happened. Two things exactly. One is that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, the word destroy is a word that literally means to render null and void, to render powerless. You know what the work of the devil is? It's to frighten you with death all your life. That's his job. He wants to keep you scared. And you know what? Many Christians live frightened to death even still. Part of the reason they got saved is they're afraid of death, but they never got enough knowledge of Christ to stop being afraid of death. You know what God wants you to do? This whole book's about enter into the rest of a completed work in Christ, and live for Jesus. If you'll just believe him and trust him, you can have rest. That's the whole book. That's the whole purpose. He compares it to the six-day creation. On the seventh day, he rested. Why did he rest? Because he was tired? No, he rested because it was done. God rested to create because it was done. He rested. And so we get a weekend. Because he not only rested on creation on the Saturday, but he rested at the cross after he drew up redemption, we get Saturday and Sunday. And that's a gift from God. He said, just remember the Sabbath. And he was telling the Jews that because he said, it will be a sign between me and you as my people. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it all. Why? Because he was saying, I did it in 6 days on the seventh day rest. And so every week they'd say, he did it in 6 days on the seventh day rest. I'll tell you what, every evolutionist is wrong. Every single one of them. And I don't care if you fill a whole community with them, they're wrong. And God said, in 6 days I did, on the seventh I rest, and I rest my case. Take it up with Him. Amen? And He said, I want you to know that I am and there is no other. And in the last days, people will believe in a thing called uniformitarianism, where everything is and it is always what it isn't either. There was a flood. And it all started over. And that's why we have fossils. Off point. Back to my point. That He might destroy the works of the devil. That He might destroy the devil. That's the first thing He says that happens at the end of verse 14. That He might destroy him who has the power of the death. That is devil. What is the power of death? Power of death. He can hold it over your head. You're going to die. You're going to die. You move, 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 move. Give me a bottle. Oh, I feel better now. Woo-hoo. Right? Give me a hobby. Give me sports. Anything to not make me think. Because when I get quiet, man, my brain starts working. Turn up the music. Give me some pot. Give me a drink. Give me drugs. Right? Kill the thought because it's bugging me. Devil's over there knocking people over the head. How about you? You're still running away from that nagging feeling that you're not measuring up? Listen, He's not ashamed to call you brethren. Come on in. See Jesus. The crown is on His head. He won the victory. It's okay. Rest. The whole book of Hebrews is about that. Not only did He do that He might destroy the works of the devil, but also, the next verse says, that He might deliver those who are all their lifetime subject to bondage. The word bondage, literally from a forensic term, means it denotes the connection of a person with its crime. That's the idea of bondage. It's a forensic term. Bondage means you can't shake the fact that that's your guilt. People think, my good outweighs my bad, God let me in. You know, there are movies today that make you think that, aren't there? You ever notice that the movies sometimes, wherever they show the little step on the other side, somebody's wicked and they're shacking up, but they're a nice guy. So he gets to go to heaven and the girl gets, you know, the girl's in whatever, but the demons take the bad guys who are trying to mess with his girlfriend, which still in like, yeah, you know, that show Ghost, I saw on TV one time. The guy, they were living together. And one of the demons, it's scary. Scary, the demons, man, they can do that, you know. All the dead shadows and grabbing people and going to hell. But the bad guy who's a fornicator, he's over here. Woohoo! Go get him. I'm going, honey. It's all good. Listen, that ain't how it works. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God said, I will in no wise clear the guilty. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. God does not clear us. God judges us. He judges every sin you ever did. The Bible says He was wounded for all transgressions. Your sin was judged. He didn't clear you. Jesus came in and stepped up and said, take me instead. We see faith. Jesus. How cool is that? A perfect captain. As a person thinketh, so is he. You keep looking at yourself, you're going to be in trouble. He not only did that, but He took on the seed of Abraham in the next little bit. And the whole point is that He's reconnecting to the Jews, and He says He made reconciliation. Jesus was the priest. He laid His blood down. I'm going to close with this thought. The devil is constantly questioning our authenticity. He's constantly questioning it. And therefore, you're going to doubt it yourself, because not only is he questioning it before the bar of God, but he's questioning it in casting in your mind doubts. That's what he does. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brother. He casts his fiery darts. The wicked one casts his fiery darts at us. He's constantly doing that. And the Bible says in this passage that all our lifetime we're being subject to temptation. The last verse of that chapter talking about being subject to temptation. And the word temptation means to be pierced through. You know what the devil's doing? I think Whitman Sampler. Remember as a kid? Mama'd get that big box of chocolate. You were all about it, but you hated those cream things. So you pulled it out and you put your thumb up in the middle. That ain't mine. I'm putting that back. Think Mom will notice? Devil's always piercing us and tempting us. You're walking around thinking, well, I'm no good and I'm not. Yeah. Amen. Keep going. Keep going.